So exciting to see now as we've been talking about Mission 1-8 for so many weeks and months, and we've given our resources and our pledges and our prayers to now see it going out that in Rio, it's really happening. God's really doing some neat things, and we're seeing the fruit of this happening. So you'll want to look more in your weekly guide when you get home. Turn to Acts chapter 10. If you got your Bibles, Acts chapter 10. We began talking last week about dot to dot. That our lives are a dot to dot. Sometimes it's an extreme dot to dot, like the book that we got our son for Christmas a while back. This dot to dot has 890 different dots on it, 1,100 different dots on this page. All these different dots. Life is an extreme dot to dot. How do we go from dot 1 to dot 2 to dot 122 to dot 1,002? It's an extreme dot to dot of God connecting things in our lives. We take a step and we move forward and we keep going. And as God leads us, then we have this beautiful picture of our life that we're able to see that this is our life and this is what God has crafted as He's led us to different places. In Acts chapter 10, we're going to see the dots connect. We looked at it last week that Cornelius, a man that was a Gentile, a word that simply means not Jewish, that he was a Gentile, and he had a dream, he had a vision, I should say, of an angel. And the angel said, go and ask for this man named Peter. Well, the next day, Peter had had a dream. And Peter's dream was that the Jews weren't going to be the only people that were going to receive Christ. That it was also going to be the Gentiles. So Jesus was connecting, God was connecting the dots. Cornelius says there's a guy that gets a dream that there's a vision that somebody's going to connect with you and tell you the story of how to connect with God. Then Peter gets a vision and these two connect. And we're going to see here Peter stepping into Cornelius's house. Giving the word of what this whole thing is about Jesus Christ. He is going to connect all the dots here. We'll see in just a moment. Now, he is going to give a message. He's going to give a sermon, if you will. Peter's going to give four different ingredients that are the ingredients of the Christian faith. Now, we're going to move fast today. I'm going to give you a lot of information today. So I want you to repeat this after me. I am a smart person. And I want you to give me a lot of information. Because I didn't go to all this effort to get here. To read the comic pages. I want the real deal. Okay, only like six of you said that at the end. Okay, you ready? Everybody together. I want the real deal. I'm a smart person and I want the real deal. There you go, because that's what you're going to get. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. It's in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. Peter is going to declare something. He's going to give us these connecting of the dots. We're just going to take a couple verses at a time. Then Peter began to speak in truth. I understand that God does not show favoritism, meaning it's not just for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. But in every nation, the person who fears Him and does righteousness is acceptable to Him. Verse 36. He has sent the message to the sons of Israel, that's the Jews, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Circle the word peace in your Bible and underline He is Lord of all. Here's what Peter is doing. He has received a message and he's going to declare a message. He's going to connect the dots. The dots in our lives connect for declaration. The dots in our lives are not to connect just for us to have an easier life. The dots in our lives are not just to connect for us to have a more fun life. The dots in our life connect so that we can declare the message of Christ. That's what it's about. He's put you in the house that you're in. He's put you in the apartment that you're in. He's put you in the workplace that you're in. He's put you in the city that you're in, the education that you have, whatever it is. All of those dots are so that you can shine with Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him. So Peter has these dots connecting between Cornelius and him, and he is able to declare this message. There's four parts to this message. Here's where we're going to hit it at high speed and good information. There's four parts to this message. This is the essence of Christianity. You don't go to Chick-fil-A to get a hamburger. You go to Chick-fil-A to get some chicken. You don't go to Fuddruckers because you like their pasta. You go because you like the burgers. So here is the burgers and the chickens of Christianity right here. This is the essence of it. This is not the side items of it. This isn't the parsley on the plate. And if we're not careful, we can get focused on the parsley and the side items instead of the core and the meat of it. And so here's the meat. The first thing is, and I read it to you in those verses, it says that he has come in verse 36 to proclaim the good news of peace. The purpose is peace. The purpose is peace with God and man. God has sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on planet Earth so that you and I could have peace, that we could have peace with God in a relationship with God, so that we could have peace with one another as well. And many times it's been spun around that Christianity is about hate. Christianity is not about hate. Christianity is about peace. But hear this loud and clear. Sin will never bring peace. Sin will never bring peace. And in this time in our society and just in human nature, we a lot of times want to take our sin and say, it's okay. This is what I want to do. Well, what you want to do and what I want to do that's not what God wants us to do, it's not going to bring peace. Doing what you want to do will not bring peace in your life. Doing what God wants you to do will bring peace in your life. God has sent Jesus Christ to bring us peace. Peace between God and man. Listen to some Bible verses on this. Psalm 119, verse 165. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction, God's instruction. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Colossians 1, verse 20, through Christ, he reconciles all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether reconciling things on heaven or on earth. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he is our peace, Jesus is our peace, who has made both groups one, that's Jews and Gentiles. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Jesus Christ comes to bring peace between God and man. And when there's peace between God and man, then we can live out peace in the fruit of the Spirit, that then we can have peace at home, peace in our marriage. Now, peace is difficult, isn't it? Let me just discourage you for a bit. Since 3600 BC, until now, that's about 6,000 years of recorded history, there has been 292 years of peace. So, world peace, discourage you for a moment, it ain't ever going to happen. It ain't ever going to happen. Does it mean we shouldn't seek it? Of course we should seek it. Should we not try to have political things and different treaties? Of course we should. But peace has got to be between God and man. If there's not peace between God and man, there's never going to be peace between man and man. It's hard enough to have peace in a Christian home, much less to have peace between nations, isn't it? But Jesus Christ has come. The first thing that Peter says is the purpose is peace. That's why he's come. So how does that peace happen? The last part of that verse, 36, peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. How does peace come? Peace comes by Jesus being Lord. Christ's control is what brings peace in our life. Christ's control brings peace in our life. He's Lord. What does Lord mean? A wonderful biblical word that means he's boss. He's in charge. He's supreme. He's God. He's si señor. He's the jefe. He's the one that's in charge. That's who he is. You're not Lord. I'm not Lord. I'd make a miserable servant. I'd make a terrible Lord. And so would you. He is Lord. He is boss. He is the one that is in charge. Peace comes through the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is the one writing this down, that he is Lord, right? Peter is saying this. This is the message of Peter. So he's saying that Jesus is Lord. Look back to Acts 10, verse 14. We went over it last week. This is where Peter said last week, he says, no, comma, Lord. Meaning, no, I'm not going to do that. I want you to eat this food. No, that's against Judaism. I know, I'm opening this up past Judaism. No, Lord. And I gave you last week two words that are the best sentence you could ever have in your life. No matter what the question is, I gave you two words. Here's the two words. Yes, Lord. What's the question that God has for you? It does not matter. What's the answer? Yes, Lord. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Again. Yes, Lord. One more time. Yes, Lord. What's the question? Doesn't matter. That's the answer. So Peter in Acts 10, verse 14, he says, no, Lord. I'm not going to do this. But then in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, I just showed you, he says Jesus is Lord of all. Oh no, Peter's a hypocrite. We're all hypocrites. Here's what it is. This is about 3 days later on verse 36 than it was verse 14. Peter is growing in Christ. Lordship in your life is a place of growth. I can look back 15 years of my life and look at the lordship of Jesus, meaning Jesus in charge of my life. I can look back then and be with embarrassment. Oh my goodness, did I even call myself a Christian? Golly. But it's growth that has happened. Peter is growing. Allow yourself to grow. Salvation is instant. Lordship takes time. You grow in your life. Jesus becomes more of a boss in your life. He takes more care of you, or you respond to his care greater, I should say. Yes, Lord, is the right answer, but we grow in that. Sin brings unrest. Christ brings peace. The difference in your life or my life of peace is the lordship of Jesus. In verse 14, Peter says, "No, Lord." In verse 36, he says, "Jesus is Lord of all." There's growth, even in Peter. That's good, because there's growth in me and in you. Number two, Jesus changed everything. His life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus changed everything. We're going to begin in verse 38, and I'm going to show you this life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's possible that Cornelius, that's who Peter is talking to, did not know that Jesus had risen from the grave. We don't know that for sure, but it's possible that the news of the crucifixion got to him, but the news of the resurrection didn't. Here's Peter's message beginning in verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. So that's what Jesus did on earth. Verse 39, we are witnesses ourselves of everything he did in the Judean country and in Jerusalem, yet they killed him by hanging him on the tree. He was perfect in verse 38. In verse 39, they killed him on the cross. Verse 40, but God raised up this man on the third day and permitted him to be seen. He not only raised up, people saw him. Over 500 people saw him. Not all the people, not everybody on planet Earth, but us, witnesses appointed beforehand by God. We ate and drank with him. Wasn't a ghost. There he was. And after he rose from the dead, and then he commanded us to preach to the people and to solemnly testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. The second point is this: Jesus Christ changes everything. It says in verse 38, he lived a life that did good. Jesus Christ changed everything. Here's what's great about Acts chapter 10. It means that you and I don't have to become Jewish in order to connect with God. You don't have to go to Jerusalem on the high feast days. You don't have to make sure that you've followed all the dietary laws. You don't have to make sure that all the things that have happened, it is opened up to other folks besides Jews. That's what Acts chapter 10 is about. It opens up wider because Jesus Christ, follow me, he kept every Jewish law. He kept every Jewish restriction. He kept everything, and he was perfect in it, and then died on the cross for you and for me and rose again from the grave. So I don't have to become Jewish, I have to believe in Jesus, because Jesus kept all of the laws to rightly relate with God. So this second thing is that Peter is saying Jesus changed everything, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The gospel, the good news, is not centered upon your effort. It is centered upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what you put your belief in. Number three, smart people moving fast. Number three, Jesus as Lord means Jesus as judge. Jesus as Lord means Jesus as judge. Look in verse 42. He commanded us to preach to the people. Remember, connecting the dots is about declaration. And to solemnly testify that he is the one appointed by God. Major Judaism prophecies coming true. To be the judge, underline judge, of the living and the dead. To be the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus as Lord means Jesus as judge. How do we as human beings typically like judge? We like that? How do we like accountability? Is that good? Do you like when you notice you're going 65 and a 55 and you notice a man with a gun that's doing, you know, not like a gun, but a radar gun? I don't like that accountability. Do you? No. When you're doing something wrong and somebody you love, they have your best interest in mind. They love you. They're committed to you. And they say, I wouldn't do that. You go, why not? We bristle under people we love, even speaking us, speaking to us things that we should change. But the kiss of an enemy is not near as good as the wounds of a friend, somebody that loves you. So Jesus as judge, there's something in us that goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't be judgmental. Nobody's going to be judge. Here's the bill of goods we've been sold. Creationism has an attempted assault of evolutionism. Why? If you can assault creation with evolution, here's what you can do. You can remove God as tops and put man as tops. That's what evolution is about. It's not evolution is about we found something that made everything change. Evolution is about we want to remove God as judge. Follow it. If man is the highest thing, then man gets to decide whatever he wants to do, and then there's no longer anything called sin. There's not anything wrong. There's not anything right. You choose what's right for you. I'll choose what's right for me. Because humans are tops, no longer is God tops. Now, of course, we know he is, but evolution has showed us that we have come from a tadpole to a monkey to now man, and now we're tops of the food chain. So we determine morality as well. That removes in thought that Jesus is judge. But here's what happens. If you believe in evolution, you must also believe that Auschwitz in Hitler's Germany is equal to mad cow disease. Because there is no difference in cattle and a person besides opposable thumbs and reason. They are all living creatures. So the slaughtering of cattle and the slaughtering of Jewish folks in Auschwitz must be declared equal because we all came from the same atoms and molecules and neurons and went further. You must also say this, that when you drive by on a road and you see a dead raccoon and you do not stop, that that is just the same as if you were to see a dead human being and not stop. If a raccoon goes by a raccoon does not stop for a dead raccoon. If a human being drives past somebody that is injured on the side of the highway, that is dead, God forbid, on the side of the highway, you slam on the brakes and call 911. Why? Because your soul demands a creator. Because you know that the raccoon does not have the fingerprint of God. Auschwitz is 6 million people created in the image of God. Here's my point. Your soul and my soul demands judgment. And if we try to take God out through evolution and no longer he is creator, therefore he is removed from being judged, then this is what it means. Hitler and you have the same end result. There is no judgment. I submit to you that God is the creator, that Jesus is the Son, and Jesus, as Peter says here, is the judge. He's the judge. And here's what's great news for the believer in Christ. Jesus the judge is also Jesus the payment for sin. See how precious now the cross becomes? See how wonderful the resurrection becomes? My judge stepped off the bench. I'm guilty, and he paid the price for it. That's the good news of peace between God and man. Jesus as Lord means that Jesus as judge, and our souls require judgment. Christ is our judge, but he's also our payment. Number four, look at where it leads us into verse 43. So what do we do with this? How do we function with this? All the prophets, all this Judaism of the Old Testament, all the prophets testify about him, the Messiah, the Savior, it's Jesus, that through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. So the judgment of Christ, I receive the forgiveness of sins through Christ. He's my judge. And he's my payment. That brings me peace with Christ. What am I believing about this Jesus? Well, number one, that his purpose is peace for me between God and man. Number two, that Jesus, his life changed everything. He kept all the regulations and then went to the cross for me. Number three, that he's Lord, and that means he's judge, and I'm going to stand before him one day. And it's not going to matter what I think. If your theology begins with I think, then you need to investigate deeper. and that Jesus Christ is judge. So number four, here's what I've got to do. I've got to place my belief in Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe that you lived the life I couldn't. Lord, I believe that you died the cross on the cross and you shed your blood for me. Lord, I believe that your resurrection is to assure me of my resurrection. I place my belief in you. And that's the essence. That's what I'm cooking with. That's what I'm connecting the dots with. That's what I'm making a difference in my life with. That's what I'm eating. That's what I'm tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Now, before we get to the result of all that happens, let me tell you a little story. My wife came up with a great idea. My wife has great ideas. She always has great ideas. As I tell you this story, even though this story is not going to turn out real well, I want you to know my wife has great ideas. I'd never say in front of a whole bunch of people that my wife had bad ideas, ever. No way. Great ideas. Husbands, say it with me. Your wives have great ideas, don't they? Awesome. Great. Now we can all live in peace for the rest of the day. That's awesome. But this idea didn't turn out quite as well as maybe we thought it would. Christmas time comes around, ladies, you know, trying to save a little bit of money, trying to do something a little crafty and make something neat. And so she had a great idea that she would get these nice little bottles, you know, that would look real decorative, and then it would have this little spout on the end, and we would fill it. I didn't do a bit of this, but she would fill it with clear dishwashing liquid. What a great idea. Then we'd go out into our backyard. We'd break off a little branch that looked like a holly branch. I don't know if it really is growing in our backyard, but it's got little red berries in it. You've seen them around Houston. Break that off and then put it into the dishwashing liquid and put the little cap. And so now you'd have this lovely Christmas holly surrounded by this clear dishwashing liquid that then you could wash dishes with. What a great idea. It's a great idea. And then people would put it by their sink and they would lift it up and they'd say, I'm so glad Jesus was born in a manger to pay for my sins. And the moths sure are sweet people. And then they would wash their dishes. That's what they would do. It's a great idea. Well, the couple that we gave it to didn't use it quite as quickly as they should have used it. So then it began to kind of decompose in there. So the clear liquid began to be kind of a yellow, golden liquid. So the husband one morning woke up and his mother-in-law was in town. He was there with his wife. His mother-in-law was visiting. He decided, I'm going to cook some eggs. So he starts cooking some eggs in the kitchen. I know it would taste really great on these eggs would be just a touch of olive oil. Well, the moths are so sweet, they gave us olive oil for Christmas. He takes the eggs, he puts them on the wonderful plate. There's fruit, there's bacon, there's eggs, everything's beautiful. He takes the moths, giving them olive oil, and douses the eggs with olive oil. Yeah, it's a great idea though. I want you to know it's a great idea. Serves it to his wife and his mother-in-law, and they begin to eat. Now, a couple bites in, they're like, slumping penalties, eggs. Well, all I did was put a little of this olive oil, and then his wife went, ding, 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 that's not olive oil, that's soap on the eggs. See, if you take the wrong ingredients, even with the best intent, you ruin the meal you're to be dining on. And some of us have been soaping our eggs with Jesus, trying to make it a little bit more palatable, a little bit more special, and in soaping the eggs, we've ruined the essence. You don't go to Chick-fil-A to get a hamburger. You don't go to Fuddruckers to get pasta. You get the essence, and the essence of Christianity is Jesus has come to bring peace. Jesus changes everything. Jesus is the Lord, therefore he's the judge, and belief in Jesus is what brings forgiveness. And that, my friend, you dine on for life. Quickly, let me show you the ending of this, of what happens. This is the salvation that Peter has declared to Cornelius, a non-Jewish person. You can come in. Acts has been moving out. I've been telling you this for months now. It's moving like an earthquake. It moves in people groups from the Jews to the Samaritans. Now we're to the Gentiles. It moves from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's moving out. This is the place where the Gentiles are being grafted in. They're being pulled in. Now let me tell you what's already happened, and then we're going to look at the scripture. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon the Jews. It's called Pentecost. It's a Jewish celebration. The Holy Spirit comes upon the Jews, and they speak in other languages, known languages, declaring the greatness of God, is the way that it says in the scriptures. Other languages declaring the greatness of God. So They don't know totally what they're saying, but people can listen and hear what they're saying in these other languages. It's about the greatness of God. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the Jews in that moment. In Acts chapter 8, verse 17, Peter and John lay hands on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to see in Acts chapter 10 that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the Gentiles. So here's what's happening. God is validating the furtherance of the gospel going out. Holy Spirit on the Jews in Acts 2. Holy Spirit upon the Samaritans in Acts 8. Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles in Acts 10. Now that can confuse us, because here's what happens with us today. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells your life instantaneously. You can never lose it. You don't get him on an installment plan. You don't have to come to me for me to bless it into you. The Holy Spirit comes and resides in you through belief in Jesus. This is a validation of what's happening. I'm going to show you what happens here. Here's what's happening. Here's your point. We're going to see here Spirit-led obedience connects the dots in our lives. The next thing that they do is they follow the Spirit in connecting the dots. So let's watch. A little bit of controversy. We're going to get through it in just a couple minutes. Controversy about tongues, controversy about the Holy Spirit, a little bit of controversy possibly on baptism. We're going to hit these real fast. Now they've received the message of salvation through Peter. Now they're going to begin walking out their Christian life. Here we go. It's found in verse 44. 44. This is the connecting of the dots as the Spirit's leading them. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. And notice a change in verse 45. The circumcised believers, that's the Jews, who had come with Peter were astounded because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on who? The Gentiles also. So this Holy Spirit moment doesn't come upon these Jews. It just comes upon these Gentiles. Because Jesus is saying, God is saying, the gospel is going further than Jews, also to Gentiles, non-Jews. That's good news for most of us in this room. It's going from Rio to Reno to Round Rock, all throughout the world. Verse 46, for they heard them speaking in other languages. Other languages. It's a Greek word for languages. And declaring the greatness of God. Same thing that's mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Now, some scholars think that what they are speaking in is in Aramaic. You had three biblical languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. The Gentiles would know Greek. The Jews would know Hebrew. And Aramaic, most likely. And so the Greeks here, the Gentiles, are speaking possibly, we don't know, in Aramaic, and they're declaring the greatness of God. So this is not the verse in which you prove an unknown prayer language. That's not the one. This is not here. I don't speak in an unknown prayer language. I have friends that do. I don't see that in the scripture, but I trust the godliness of my friends. So let that be, you know, a sermon for another day if I can. But this is not the place for this here. The Holy Spirit comes upon them to show, wow, that's why the Jews are astounded. Now this is for the Gentiles, not just a Jewish sect anymore. This is worldwide. They declare then the greatness of God in a language they did not know, but these folks could identify that they were declaring the greatness of God. And then third and finally, it says in this last verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to stay for a few days. So he stays with Gentiles to show that the Jewish folks are going to stay, that they stay there with Cornelius, that the dividing line has been broken. So then they're baptized after that, okay? So you're smart people, giving you a lot of information. There's four essences of the Christian faith. I've enumerated those for you a few times, what Peter said. Then from that place, when they now go, we believe, what happens? They're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit different timing than we have today because it's showing the authenticity of the gospel going out. They declare the greatness of God in another known language but unknown to them, and then they step forward in baptism. They step forward in baptism. Have you been baptized? Biblical baptism after belief by immersion. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior and then be baptized? That could be the next dot for you to take that step because God is connecting these dots. God is taking this worldwide. It is going out all over the world so that it goes from here to here. Don't soap your eggs. Don't try to add a bunch of stuff to the essence of Jesus. Jesus knows who he is and he's fine with it. He's fine with it. And the way that life becomes a wonderful dot to dot is when we orchestrate the dots to dots of our life around him. He's Lord, he's judge, he's changed everything. So I place my belief in Christ. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I'm able to have the word being declared through me. Say this with me. I'm a smart person, and I got a lot of information today. And I'm so glad you gave me the real deal. Let's pray together. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the greatness of who you are. And Lord, we do tell you, God, we want to know the truth about you. Because if we don't have the right ingredients, we're never going to get the dot to dot to look right. But when you lead us through who Jesus Christ is, then we can step it out, dot to dot to dot. You brought us all to this place at this time. And we ask Jesus that you would do your work and that you would speak to us. Lord, for some, the next dot is belief in Jesus Christ, to place their belief in him. For others, it's the next dot to say, you know what, I do believe in Jesus and I've trusted him as Savior, but I've never been baptized the way the Bible talks about being baptized. As a baby, possibly, as a child, but not after my belief. And Lord, we just pray that we'd have the courage to step out on that dot. Father, for many of us, that we would step out, lastly, in courage to say, yes, Lord. Unknowing of the question, yes, Lord, is the right answer. May you grow the lordship, you as boss, you as king, you as the one in charge of our lives. We raise our white flag, Lord. We're not at battle with you. We surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.